Morning, everyone. We give a special welcome to the Johns family. And Jason, is all of them here?
No.
How many do you have? 10 children? Oh, okay, 10 in the family or 10 children?
10 children.
10 children. Wow. Okay. May the Lord bless you. 10 children. It's wonderful. Okay, let us, shall we turn to Mark chapter 14. We're going to be reading from verses 10 to 21, but first let us commit ourselves to the Lord. Our God and Father, it is good to meet together, and we thank you that your grace is sufficient. It's greater than our sins. Thank you that our sins are many, but the grace of God has overcome. He has come down in the person of the Lord Jesus. So we commit ourselves to your care. Open up the eyes of our understanding today. May we know the quickening of the Spirit and send us on our way rejoicing. We give thanks in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and wonderful glory. Amen. Okay, let us start at verse 10, Mark chapter 14. Notice how it starts. And Judas Iscariot, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time on this man. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he has said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily, I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. The word of the Lord. Now verse 10 begins, And Judas Iscariot, or but Judas Iscariot. Here we must get a context by reading also verses 8 and 9. Notice in verse 8 and 9, She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And then verse 10, But Judas Iscariot. The Lord Jesus is commending this little lady in verses 8 and 9 for anointing his body for burial. Of course, this act was a lovely precursor, which later issued in his rising again from the dead. It is explained in these verses. But here we find a contrast. This lovely lady comes to the fore and anoints the body of the Lord Jesus. But when we come into verse 10, and Judas Iscariot, he makes his dark appearance on the scene. And thus the wealth of the gospel now could be proclaimed from the housetops through the world, throughout the world. His rising gave power to the heralds of the good news. But she hath done a good work unto me. Her heart was right. You see the contrast here, this little lady. Her heart was right. She anointed the Lord. But when we come into verse 10, and Judas Iscariot, her heart was right, and thus a memorial shall be spoken of for all succeeding generations to emulate. When we come to verse 10, though, we see the exact opposite. And Judas Iscariot shall not have a memorial spoken of by all that are to come after. But his name has been etched with blood and recorded in the annals of infamy as an abhorrence to treachery for all right living people. Right living people will see through this. There's a beautiful scene, a beautiful flower emerges. All of a sudden, there comes this dark figure on the scene to smother it out. And now we're going to develop this. What happened? What a difference. What made the difference? This beautiful lassie had done what she could. She had done what she could. Judas did what he could in a negative way. Her heart was right. The gospel is promoted by her selfless ministrations to Jesus and are properly commended. But Judas stained his reputation by treachery and betrayal. His heart was not right before God, which led to the subverting and promoting another gospel, one of self-will and deceit, handling the money bag as he thought would enrich himself by falsifying that which was committed to him. In Judas Iscariot, we have a painful case. This is a case study for any psychologist to look after. We have a painful case of raw, fallen human nature, conniving, secretive, an evil opportunist turning over in his mind on his bed ways of implementing his dark, hard, and treacherous work. The gospel was hindered through him. It was promoted through this lovely lady. But with Judas putting his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, the gospel was hindered. And now what happens? Well, did Judas not go out with the 12 on errands of mercy? There was 12 of them. Judas was one of them. Did he not see the miracles done before his eyes by the Lord Jesus? Was he not a reliable confidant? The others chose him to be a treasurer. How did they choose him to be a treasurer? Have you ever thought this through? Surely they would have known. Where did he go wrong? Why the betrayal? Why the deception? I'll give you the answer to that. Perhaps John 13, 1 and 2, you don't have to turn to it, will give you the answer. The devil, I know people don't like to hear this kind of preaching. This is the problem in life. It's the devil, the world, and the flesh. And we need to know what we're talking about. John 13, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas to betray him, that's what got him going. The heart of his problem was the problem of the heart. You probably have heard that little epigram. The heart of his problem and our problem is the problem of our hearts. And that's where Satan found lodging, in that heart, that dark heart of his, to betray him. Through carelessness and avarice, he allowed evil to possess his will, and the devil entered into him and became a pawn in his hands. Judas learned his tricks from his father, the devil. The gospel at that moment was hindered. His conscience became seared. Judas could not be a chosen vessel unto me. Remember, the Lord Jesus said that about the Apostle Paul. He is a chosen vessel unto me. Judas was not a chosen vessel unto him for good. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, verse 10 continues. The 11 kept themselves. There was 12 disciples. The 11 kept themselves. They made history and won and became a memorial to the Christian church and for the world to see. But Judas fell from grace by transgression, became consumed with the lust for materialism and pleasures. And this is the problem today we have in our world and in our churches. We're consumed with materialism and pleasures. But gravel finally entered his mouth and rottenness engorged his soul. He became inebriated with darkness. But he was found out. What of the 11? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, the 11. Judas went to his own place, lost forever. Oh, the tragedy of it all. Imagine being lost forever from the presence of God, banished from the throne of God in a place called hell. We don't like to hear about hell, do we? Well, I'm not going to pull any punches. There's heaven and hell, and we have to choose. I don't want to go to that place, and I'm not going there because I'm putting my trust in the Lord Jesus. The tragedy of a lost soul. I can't help but feel pity for Judas. He's a fellow traveler in life. He was. He was caught in the jaws of wickedness, and he yielded to it. And this is the problem we all have in life. We're in a vice, caught up in wickedness. But the Lord Jesus gives us a way out. So let us not be so smug in our seats and say, this shall never happen to me, you know. I go to church. I put my $20 in the collection. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You got to put your trust in the Lord, or else you're going to go that way too. We become self-righteous and complacent. We also have the seeds of corruption in our own breast. We have it there. It's there. It's smoldering there, and it will come out when we give it a chance. There go I, but for the grace of God. Oh God, thank you for turning me around. Perhaps you can say that today, so many years ago, maybe even yesterday. God, thank you for turning me around. I was headed in that to that dark place, but your grace has saved me, brought me into the fold, and now I have eternal life. Every sin that was ever committed today, you think of all the dastardly sins that were ever committed. We have the potential to do that unless we're curtailed by the grace of God, by the hand of God keeping us from the pit. We're capable. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, because the devil wants the heart. He wants to enter in like Judas. Keep your heart with all diligence is the biblical counsel that we need to heed. The heart is the center of our moral nature. What an immoral world we live in today. The heart has been captured by the vast number of humanity today. While our hearts need maintaining, you know, it's like a plot of ground. Like if you cultivate a plot of ground and plant your carrots or whatever, you leave it for a couple of months. The encroachment of the wilderness will come and choke it to death. You have to keep your heart, or else the encroachment will come and destroy your life. At least make it inoperative. God might save you eventually once he gets his hook into you, but you have to maintain some kind of godliness to walk with God. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went on to the chief priests. To betray Jesus unto them, and they were glad. Could you imagine? These chief priests, they were religious leaders, they were glad. Because their little padded nest egg was in jeopardy through this Galilean upstart. Now, I've never been present when there was an execution being performed. Let's say, in our country, in North America, I don't think we hang people or the electric chair. That's kind of obsolete. I think now there's lethal injections. Would you go into a room that somebody is being executed and just gloat over it? I would have pity for that person, even though he killed 50 people. There's something within me that realizes that this person, he's a bad dude, all right, but there's still some pity in me. These chief priests had no pity for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord had to get after these boys. There was no pity from these chief priests, even a convicted criminal, I think. Now, I'm not going to go so far and say, he's okay, let him go. But there's something within me that would just hate to see the electric chair, his veins popping out as the juice is put into him. There's something abhorrent in me that doesn't like to see that. These boys here, these chief priests, they lacked even a smidgen of compassion and pity for the Lord Jesus. They were glad and they gave him money. Well, not much is known about this shadowy figure. All we know is that Judas was the son of Simon Iscariot, from the Hebrew Ishkarioth, a man of Kerioth, a town probably south of Judah. He was not a Galilean. He was appointed treasurer, became a good actor, going through all the motions undetected. But Jesus knew all men. All men were naked before the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw through with his piercing eyes. He knew all along who it was, undetected. Now, I believe with all my heart that the greatest need in the church today is what? Bigger buildings, bigger offerings, more chairs. The biggest need in the Christian church today is discernment. Discernment. This would bring revival if activated overnight. Discernment, separating the precious from the vile, proving things that are excellent. Do not ye judge them that are within, says the scripture. Some would say, you're not supposed to judge, you know. Well, the Bible says, I'll read it for you. 1 Corinthians, or is it 2? 1 Corinthians 5. You're not supposed to judge, you know. You're supposed to judge. You're supposed to use discernment in the assembly of God. For what have I to do to judge them that are without the unsaved, while you let the dead bury the dead? Them that are Them that are without, do not ye judge them that are within? See what it says? You're not supposed to judge them that are without. Do not ye judge them that are within? You're supposed to judge people that are within. You're supposed to deal with the situation. So discernment, I think, is the greatest need today in the Christian church. Choose you this day. You know, life is full of choices. I don't know, when I go to supermarket, I usually go to Walmart in the morning about 7, right away. I know exactly where I'm, 20 minutes I'm out. And I spent $173 the other day. I can't believe this. And if you get 3 for $7, oh, you save at the bottom. You know, the thing there, it says 3 for $7, you save $1.54. They've just gypped you. Oh. But anyway, there's so much going on today. You know, I'm not worried about so much about judging. Like when I buy apples, I look them over, I judge them a little bit, put them in there. But I'm not going to spend, like I see some ladies there, you know, they spend 6 hours in the place. What do you want to do that for? Use your time more wisely. Come on, girls. And the men, too. Not just the girls. Well, okay, what am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, some things are more important than others. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's what I'm saying. Choose. Make good choices. God wants your heart and your will. So does our arch enemy. Judas was pleased to be associated with Jesus because he perceived he would get advantage from it and be part of an earthly kingdom. Well, too many of Jesus' so-called disciples need private jets to get them around. You know people, these TV boys, they need private jets to get them around and promote their false gospel. Many live in shameful, opulent mansions with pools ripping off the poor by their delinquent, heartless manner of living. The judge standeth at the door. It's not going to go over with the Lord Jesus. He's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with these boys. What do they need all this stuff for? Only by men anointed to proclaim this everlasting gospel, making it without charge. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He made his gospel without charge. Give, give, says the Horchleach. Is their plea for money? I remember listening to a tape by A.W. Tozer. He said, I wish I could be the Pope for one day. One day, I would kill some of these ministries we have today. Let me repeat that. I wish I can be the Pope for one day. I would kill some of these ministries we have today. After receiving the sop, Judas went out, and it was night. It always is. When you go out from the presence of God, the shadows lengthen, and you find yourself in the dark. It was night. He never did participate of the Eucharistic meal. He went out before they partook. The family memorial meal. He was gone. His depraved heart was hankering after earthly things. Jesus offered him food for the soul, living water to quench his persistent thirst. But to no avail. Satan had gotten to him. I have sinned in betraying the innocent blood. Well, he confessed that to the chief priest. Why didn't he confess it to Jesus? Jesus would have forgave him. But it was too late. He threw the money on the ground and ran and went and hung himself. If he would have just repented, it was too late. He repented to the wrong person. Jesus would have forgiven him and saved him. Psalm 109 and 8 reminds us, let his days be few, and let another take his office. Remember Matthias was chosen? Whatever happened to Matthias? Never heard of that. Psalm 41 and 9 also reminds us, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Now cursed in infamy, oh, the tragedy of the lover of sin. If you're a lover of sin today, beware. Beware, my friend. I want to warn you. If you fall into sin, forget it. Forsake it and forget it. Now cursed in infamy. Oh, how we ought to be careful, circumspect in our walk. And if failure happens, confess it at once. Let not the sun go down upon your sin and failure. Confess it to God. He's very gracious and kind. Don't hide it and say, well, it's just a little white lie. Whoever invented that nonsense? A little white lie. A little white lie will get you into the pit. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Someone wrote, Judas is a solemn instance of how far a person may be under the influence and power of Christianity and yet become an apostate. Ye are clean, but not all of you. Of course, Jesus meant Judas. And also can mean some of us. His besetting sin was covetousness. Covetousness. He was hankering for a fistful of dollars and for a few dollars more. That was Clint Eastwood's problem. A fistful of dollars. That will help you. Covetousness. Ours might be something else that we hide shamelessly. There must be repentance. Listen, folks, what am I doing up here? There's got to be repentance in your life if you want to get right with God. He'll forgive you, but confess your sin and your lifestyle. God delights to forgive. A persistent sinful course will lead you, anyone, to perdition. Now, I close this Bible. I did it unintentionally. No, where was I? 14. Okay, verse 11. It says, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. The Passover feast was at hand. Verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? This was the first of three great feasts. The Jews had three great feasts. I think they have six or seven altogether, but these are the great ones. Annual festivals of the Jews celebrated in the month of Nisan, March and April. This is the time of year they would have celebrated. Actually, they did in Israel. They had three of them at once. They had Ramadan and the Jewish feast and the Christian feast all at once in this time. Of course, Jesus, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. It is not a coincidence. Have you ever thought how the Lord works out his time? And it wasn't a coincidence that Jesus was in this scenario right at the Passover season where the lamb was to be slain. The Lord Jesus died during this time. It fit in perfectly with God's timing that his son would be the ultimate Paschal lamb to make atonement for the believing people. I took out my concise Bible dictionary to read about this Passover feast, but first I must turn to the book of Acts and show you another example of a heart not right with God. This is so important. We must see this to make sense of it all. So go over to the book of Acts, or just listen. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 9. Acts chapter 8, here's what it says. But there was a certain man named Simon, which beforehand in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had sent a word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. What was his problem in verse 21? Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. That was his problem. The little beautiful lady, her heart was right. What happened to Judas? His heart wasn't right. And this man too, he had no part in the gospel, no part in the things of God, no part with the Holy Spirit. Repent. Now look at verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. If Judas would have done this sincerely, what a different story we would have. History would have changed dramatically. But thus it must be fulfilled, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, I must read about the Passover from the Bible dictionary I was reading, so you can understand what was going on here. Here's what it says. I couldn't write it out all. It was quite involved, but I think I got the gist of it. You're probably wondering, what's this all this Passover about? Passover. I see birds passing over. I don't write about it. This was instituted when the Israelites were in Egypt. That's Exodus 12. Jehovah being about to cut off all the firstborn of Egypt, the Israelites were ordered to sprinkle the blood of a lamb taken for each house on the lintel and two side posts of their houses. And the promise was given, the Lord will pass over you. He will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your house to smite you. The Israelites obeyed and in perfect safety fed upon the lamb under the shelter of the blood. When they should come to the promised land, they were enjoined to keep the Passover. That's why it goes on year after year As a reminder, keep the Passover as one of their yearly feasts. The Passover set forth typically the offering of Christ as that in which the righteousness of God in regard of sin has been declared. The blood was a witness of death, that is, of the removal from under the eye of God of the man or order of man that had sinned against God. This removal was brought to pass vicariously in the person of the righteous one who gave himself a ransom for all. In the eating of the lamb roast with fire, the people were to enter into the solemnity of what had been effected. So connected with the Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was kept for 7 days, during which all leaven had to be put away. This feast was intimately connected with the Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. It says that in Corinthians. Therefore, let us keep the feast. You know, when we come here Sunday morning, we keep the feast, the Lord's Supper. I think it is a reminder of this too. We keep the feast. We come here. Not with old leaven, not with the old life, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread sets forth that sense of grace through faith in the Christian. I'll stop there. I know I went kind of quickly, but I don't want to take too much time with that. The Bible also enjoins us to keep the Feast of Remembrance. Remembrance. Salvation through Christ is God's great gift to us who believe. Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God came down to save us from a lost eternity. And many people are just blinded to the whole thing. We don't want this religious stuff. Because they see the hypocrisy all over the place. That's why they don't want it. This is why we have to live this kind of a life. He shed blood on Calvary's cross, and he has made a way for us to enter into his presence. We can shout, hallelujah. We can enter into the presence of God. We can go through the veil. The forerunner was sacrificed for us. We can follow him now. He brings us to eternal glory. So, the rest of these verses describe how the Lord Jesus made preparation for the feast. Peter and John, as Luke tells us, it doesn't tell us in Mark 14, but when you go to Luke 22 and 8, it says it was Peter and John that went over, were the two Jesus chose to go and make ready by going into the city to seek the place for their gathering together. Tradition identifies the owner of this place as Mark's father. I wonder why Mark didn't include that it was John and Peter that went. Well, at the feast, the betrayer is singled out. He is singled out. You're the one. Thou art the man. Perhaps this also convicts us. They all became sorrowful. Even Judas. Is it I, Master? One by one. Surely it's not I. These were the custodians of the gospel. They knew it wasn't them. But Judas would cheek and, Master, is it I? Have we betrayed the Savior by spurning his grace and love? I think people are just ignorant today. I can't see a person. God gives them forgiveness, eternal life, just flatly. I think there might be some. There's Satanists out there and whoever else. People are just blinded to the gospel. And they look around for some guidance through some other Christian who should tell them the way and present the gospel to them, but they don't find it. They've been to churches where the gospel is not proclaimed. So they go out sorrowful into the night. In verse 21, Jesus uses strong language. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he were never been born. Does that not put chills down your spine? Woe to that man. How many are betraying him today? Even the hierarchy of the church, they're betraying him, most of them, I think. Let us not be left out. Jesus offers love and forgiveness to them that come to him. Perhaps this morning you feel betrayed by attending a weak and unhelpful church. You've been going to church for years and you say, I get nothing out of the thing. The gospel isn't preached. There's nothing there. A weak and unhelpful church in your past. Perhaps you're here this morning and you think, thank God I've come to an assembly where they preach the gospel. They don't pull any punches. We're not asking for your money. You can have it. My friend, don't come to these weak churches. Come to the head of the church. He'll take care of you. His arms are extended to you personally. His heart beats for you. Is he calling you in vain this morning? Answer nay. Is he calling you perhaps this morning? Don't say, no, I don't want this. It's too much for me. I can't live this kind of a life. Nobody can live this kind of a life. That's why he puts the Holy Spirit within you. He gives you the power to live it. You can't do it in your own strength. It's impossible. But with God, see, with God, all things are possible. With him, go his way and things become possible. Well, what do you have to say this morning? I will seek out the beloved of my soul, the lover of my soul. I will seek him out. Who offers me forgiveness and ultimate salvation. Only the Lord Jesus can speak to your condition. Only the Lord Jesus can speak to your condition. He knows exactly what makes you tick. Only he can speak to that condition. To use a phrase of the old Quakers, George Fox, tremendous man. Some of these other men, don't find too many today. Only the Lord Jesus can speak to your condition. We can help one another. We can only go so far. You can bring a cup of sugar over. What's that going to help your neighbor? They need the gospel. They need to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Because only he can say to your distraught, aching heart, I am the way. And the truth and the life, no man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. My time is up. Well, this is my final word. Choose life today. You've been living in death most of your life. Choose life today. It's free for the taking. It's free. The gospel is free. Don't neglect it by materialism and go the way of Cain. The way of Balaam, the way of Judas Iscariot, the son of Cariot. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word of truth. We need the fullness of the Spirit to live it out. We pray that you might bless us today. Encourage us, Father. We know sometimes we're quite rough, but even the surgeon has to cut out the angry. tumor that's killing the people. We give thee thanks with praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen.